I'd like to call order the regular meeting of the City Council for the City of Shore Acres, Texas, Monday, January 27, 2014, at 7 p.m. The first order of business is roll call.
Stephen Jones, present.
Nancy Schnell, present.
Bo Bunker, present.
Matt Weber, present.
Frank Moses, present.
Mike Wheeler, present.
On to the next item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
The next item on the agenda are our special presentations, and the first item under special presentations is introduction of the new Shore Acres Chief of Police. Troy, I know you haven't taken the oath of office yet, so officially it's not official.
That's great news.
To be redundant. However, the good news is that the very next thing on the agenda is actually administering the oath of office. We're very pleased to have you as our newest chief of police. And if you'd like, you can, if you have anything to say to the council or the citizens, you're more than welcome to. Ladies and gentlemen, Chief Troy.
Maybe just an extremely brief statement to say that I know a lot of you became involved in this process as you were given the opportunity. I think that speaks nicely of our city, and I think that's representative of a great nation we live in, when people can become so involved in their community. Having been a Marine, I'm most thankful that you guys had that opportunity, because that's what this nation is all about. I appreciate your confidence in me, and I will do the best job I can possibly do for you. And thank you guys as well.
Thank you. David, if you would do the honors, please.
I, Troy Harrison, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the duties of the Office of Chief of Police of the Cities of Shore Acres, State of Texas, and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States and of this state, so help me God.
Very good. Congratulations. Thank you, sir. You'll do that standing right here, and hold your hand back up so you can get a picture of the right person over here.
There we go. We won't have to say it again, but thought somebody wanted a picture or a photo up of you. You got it? All right.
And remember, the camera adds 10 pounds.
Thank you.
Now you're official.
At least.
Now you're official.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you
very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, guys.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Congratulations once again.
The next item on the agenda is approval of minutes for the regular council meeting January 13, 2014. If council has had an opportunity to review those minutes, I'll entertain a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for January 13, 2014.
That's correct. Is there a second?
Yes,
sir. Bo, with a second?
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. There are no meetings attended at this time. Public hearings and public comments at this time. This opportunity for citizens to comment on items which do not appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes. Members of council are prohibited by law from participating in the discussion or deliberation of items that are not specifically identified on this agenda. At this time, if anyone would like to address council. Yes, sir. We'll take it from right to left.
Patrick Stanton, 128 Shady Lawn. Last week I talked about goals and objectives, and I said, I gave my thoughts, and I said, if anybody's interested, I'll be available after the meeting. I must say the response was underwhelming. So I guess I didn't do a good enough sales job, so I'm going to continue doing the sales job until the city does something about this. It's been 18 months since the city paid someone to give them a workshop to teach them how to do goals and objectives. And at this date, I don't think that's been better. So, I prepared some myself that I gave last week, so I'm going to go over each one of them until you guys get off your duff and prepare some goals and objectives for the city individually. So I think I'll start with the mayor. The first thing I had for the mayor, I said meet with the Precinct 2 commissioner who lives in Shore Acres, who might have some ideas about how we could get some grant money or something to do with the county. The LaPorte ISD superintendent, who might have some ideas about what to do with the land that they own over there that we're receiving nothing from at the present time. The chairman of the Port of Houston Authority, who might have something to do with the noise that is still there. You know, that was one of the areas of emphasis that the city had. Continue working with the Port of Houston on sound and noise reduction issues. Don't think that's being done.
Well,
the next thing, is to meet with the Commodore of the Houston Yacht Club, which I think was done. The mayor said he didn't have any meetings, but I've been told that he did meet with the Commodore of the Houston Yacht Club, because we have very many things, including our shoreline, plus dealing with the port and so forth, that we need to talk to those folks about. The mayor is of Pasadena, which is where the port's at. LaPorte, who we deal with all the time, who might give us some ideas about best practices. And Seabrook, who is also affected by the port. And I said yearly. That doesn't mean you got to do all of them at one time. The next thing I said was for the mayor to evaluate the city administrator and recommend changes and or additions to the contract and salary. I think we're going to address that somewhat tonight. But of course, the city administrator doesn't have any goals and objectives to be able to evaluate them. It's all going to be remembrance here instead of quantitative statistics. Fill all committee vacancies within 2 months. That's not being done. I mean, we have planning and zoning vacancies we've had for eons. We've had parks and recreation vacancies, been there for eons. We need to fill them. If we don't need them, let's just get rid of the committees. Establish standards for mayor and council regarding conflicts of interest, nepotism, and transparency of governance. You know, we've heard all this backroom stuff about people doing this. Somebody's son was employed, yada, yada, yada. Let's get some rules. And last but not least, review annually all outside contracts for fire, utilities, and our ambulance service. We need to do that so whenever the contracts are up, we have all alternatives, plan B, if necessary. So these are examples of why we need goals and objectives. The second verse will be continued the next meeting. Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to address the council at this time? Yes, ma'am. Darlene was.
Oh, you can go ahead now.
Oh, that's
very good.
No, go ahead.
All right. I'm Chuck Hayes, 122 Meadow Lawn, Shore Acres. First thing, I got a little bit of a problem. I'd like to see if you can address it. And that's, I got a coyote living on Meadow Lawn. Spotted him twice at night. There are three or four lots in that area on Meadow Lawn, and uh, and not Fairfield, but the forest, that provide real good habitat for these kind of animals. And perhaps something could be done to clean those up. The one immediately behind 123 Meadow Lawn on Forest is thickly grown, and it has standing water in it, which makes it a double problem. It creates a lot of mosquitoes when it gets warm. That's the main problem I got. And after what Patrick said, one of the things that I wanted to propose was perhaps an oversight committee to help the city administrator in selecting what kind of a waterfront we're going to have. But it seems to me the Parks and Recreation Committee should be able to handle that. It's already established. It may need manning. And I'll volunteer. I'm not here to bring problems without solutions.
Thank you. I'll take your coyote.
I'll send the coyote over.
That's you. Well, Darning Bay is 616 Bay Road. Two things, a pro and a con. I was able to go to a meeting after the meeting last week here for the Hike Act. And it was very interesting, very informative. You could go to his website. There's a lot of information on it, some videos. And he compared the Ike Dyke to the Centennial Gate, which the Ike Dyke is not going to solve the flooding. We're going to flood, but it'll diminish the disastrous effect. But he explains all that, and I wish we could get something maybe for Shore Acres program that he presented by him to let the citizens know. Hey, my dead horse. I recently submitted a public information request regarding the firearm shooting in the city vehicle. I was told by the city administrator the information was not releasable because there was an ongoing investigation. I asked the chief, and he said he had no record of one, which was verified at this last meeting of council. So the city attorney and several papers from him and the attorney general referred it to the state attorney general, who authorized a redacted report, which I will show you. I guess for all the money we spend for the city attorney. It blank. Anyway, I knew already what was in the report, what I read. And I understand it is personnel, but I think for the money we spend with the attorney, that was not good. I would like to know why I was misled. I was told there was a criminal ongoing investigation, and from what I gathered, there wasn't. And I was told that. Don't the citizens have a right to know the truth when a question is asked? Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to address council at this time? Yes, ma'am.
Charlotte Wells, 3342 Miramar. And I apologize, I drove in today and I wrote this a week ago, so it may not be quite what I wanted it to be. Kind of piggybacking on what Darlene said, and also Matt's, the mayor's edit letter talking about the Centennial Gate, and I still recommend that we look at all kinds of things. There aren't even just two alternatives. There's many, many things that can be done. And during that meeting, I spoke about the Centennial Gate on December 9th and asked that everybody look into it and find out what it was about, because LaPorte City Council was meeting that same night to talk about the Ike Dyke. So I think we need to be informed also, because we're very much affected.
And during that December 9th meeting, during the citizen comments, I inquired about a rumor that FEMA had offered the city a buyout program for people who were substantially damaged after Hurricane Ike. Do y'all remember that? After the January 13th council meeting had adjourned, David Stahl told me, the city administrator told me, that the answer to my question was yes. The city had been approached by FEMA, and he had declined, emphatically. And he told me the reasons and whatnot. I want David Stahl's reply to my question regarding a FEMA buyout after Hurricane Ike to be on the record. That's what I'm doing here. David indicated that the mayor and council had made the decision for no FEMA buyouts. At one point, he said it was the old council before Ike, and then we talked a little bit, and he thought it was the council after Ike. I don't know when it was. What I would like to see is the documentation where that decision was made. We're missing many, many minutes from the time after Ike that were never approved. They're not on the website. They're missing. So I don't know. I guess the tapes are still around, so that there would be information. But if there is documentation where the council made this decision, or it's written in policy somewhere, I'd like to see that. Because my concern is that our city administrator is making decisions without the mayor and the council and the citizens knowing about it and having input. Because after the storm, there were many people on Miramar, and if you look at this in relation to the Ike Dike and future hurricanes and things like that, we need to be thinking about this. There are buyouts offered along Clear Creek. There's buyouts offered everywhere. So what I would like to see, and I'm not saying that the decision was right or the decision was wrong. What I want to know is, did our city administrator, not a city manager, make this decision on his own without knowledge of anyone else? And more than that, is there a policy? Is there something in writing? Because what he told me was that the council had decided that they would not accept buyouts. So, again, I'm not arguing for or against the outcome. I'm concerned that the city administrator is making decisions without citizen and council input and approval. And as we move forward with a different flood plan, things have changed since Ike, and I think no matter what was decided then, it needs to be discussed now. Because there are places in our city that, in my opinion, we should not rebuild. They're just too low and too... Anyway, but that's an opinion. What I want is being run. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Are there any other citizens? Yes, sir.
Since the buyout issue has been raised again, I was on the council during Hurricane Ike. So was J.L. Washington, was the mayor, and Dolly Ahrens was one of the council members. I have no doubt that issue was never raised at a council meeting that I attended. And the reply I received from Mayor Ahrens and J.O. Washington was they own no recollection of any buyout offered by FEMA. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to address council at this time? If not appearing, we'll move on to the next item in the agenda. Administrative reports. General activity report, David.
Good evening. We have on the agenda some items dealing with the election, but I would comment that filing opens this Wednesday, the 29th, for the position of mayor and two councilmen at large. We were looking forward tomorrow morning to having a meeting with the contractor for a pre-construction meeting for the water main on Curator Boulevard. But because of some concern about weather, they have rescheduled that pre-construction meeting to February 11th. We may not have full staff tomorrow, but we're going to endeavor to have the office open regular hours tomorrow. And business as usual, we'll make a call on the fly on the collection of recycling material. Those that made inquiries today, we did tell them that it would probably be better to wait and put it out next Tuesday. But during the course of today, the weather advice that we're getting for governmental entities shows that that front is arriving later and later, and we may be able to get to that collection in the morning. So we'll just play that by ear. On the street and drainage project updates, we continue to make good progress on Oakdale and the portion of Forest that's being worked on, having very few issues or problems. We're not having any of the types of waterline problems and conflicts that we've had with other road projects, so that's all good news. On the water and sewer projects, I had mentioned 2 weeks ago that we had a valve issue, a control valve issue at Water Plant 1. It was represented then. They thought that was going to be a quick fix. They're still waiting on material and information from the manufacturer of that valve as to converting it to an automatic valve as opposed to an altitude control valve. And we don't have any more information on that. That plant can't be put online until that valve issue is resolved. In the meantime, a subcontracting engineering firm is doing the SCADA. Has met with me. We have gone over the programming that we desire for the system, and that programming work is ongoing, and that is what will control the valve. So as it turns out, they're a little behind the curve there. We're probably a week or two away from finishing the software to use that valve. So although the valve isn't there functional, it isn't the only thing holding it up. If it were there, the software still is not ready to be turned on for that. One is just program of work, and the other one is what's represented at this point to be a minor fix. Those are the administrative reports. Any questions before I go to the financial report?
Are there any questions for council for some? Yes, sir.
Since the public work director is not here tonight, Diane sent an email, which I think a number of y'all were addressed, about grass encroachment on my street, J.D. Lawn. We have grass growing up through the asphalt. We have all these new roads. This would be an ideal time to take care of the problem now and to solve this. But what's more upsetting to me is no one even bothered to contact her and say, we're not going to do it. We're going to do it here. We're going to do it there. Nothing. The silence was deafening. So if we're going to be the great communicators, we better start communicating. Thank you.
I can say Mr. Sutton is on vacation and won't be back until next Monday, and that he has met with the Texas A&M Extension Service on best practices for dealing with grass and asphalt, and has had a couple meetings and also visited with the city engineer on that. The last I heard, they were looking at a propane burner to address that as opposed to anything that would damage the asphalt further. But I don't know what the status of that work is.
Well, it sounds like you're working on it, but how about telling the people that put the request in the first place where you stand on it? You know, it's been about 3 weeks since this has been done. It'd be nice.
I'll visit with him about that. I was unaware that any request was made.
Yes, sir.
Could you post a copy of the financial report on the website, please?
It is on the website.
Wasn't this a little while ago?
It was posted on there Thursday. It's in the council packet.
Doesn't? Okay. Let's draw that. When I tried to open it, it wouldn't open. And this resolution wouldn't open either.
Now, the resolution was not put on there until this afternoon. It was added to the packet. It's on there now.
Okay.
But that was not finished being drafted until this afternoon.
Are there any questions concerning the project updates? They're not appearing, and we'll move on to 7.2, monthly financial report.
Financial report shows the balances as of the end of December. The general fund at that time had right at $88,000. Since then, we've made two deposits in excess of $100,000, and so the balance today is much, much greater than that. Utility fund balance is just short of $59,000, and the service deposit fund is $55,000. the Texas CDBG fund, which is our grant funds for both round one and round two, had a balance at the end of the year of $1,567.83. So that's our static balance, less a $20 a month service fee. We did have a transfer in and transfer out of just over $12,000 in December. Our text pool balance at the end of December is $854,799 with an interest gain of just short of $27. The certificates of deposit have not been touched. We have two of them that will renew in February 19th. And our balance in the certificate of deposit is $249,741. The property tax collection in December dispersed total was $310,700 for December, for a total of $359,650 year to date. In January, we have received a couple large payments that will be reflected in next month's report. Sales tax, we had a surge in October and about a level November and about 26% downturn in December. We don't know what's driving that. Our year-to-date is above last year, but the revenues for December were, for the general sales tax, is $3,753. And that's the financial report.
Are there any questions from council at this time? Are there any questions from citizens?
Just a question on the water plant. Has the contractor been paid for the water plant number one?
Contractor paid progress payments, and they have not received the final payment, and they have not received their retainage until the project is complete.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions about the financials at this time? Okay, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is business, consideration, and approval of invoices. At this time, if council's had a chance to review the invoices, we'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion to pay our bills.
Thank you, Nancy. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Rick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? If not appearing, the motion carries. Item 8.2, consideration and action to adopt resolution number 2014-135, creating the Miramar Shoreline Advisory Group, setting the composition, defining the goal of the group's purposes and duties. This resolution wasn't included until late this afternoon for review, so I have no problem if council would like to consider this at the next meeting in order to have time to look it over and receive input and or make input concerning the makeup of the resolution.
And we don't have anything.
Yeah, we can certainly above. Yeah, we can certainly discuss it, but I know you've not had a chance to even look it over until right this second. So I have absolutely no problem with moving this to the next agenda.
I'd rather make a motion to move the next one. I want to read through this.
Yeah, certainly.
So I'll make a motion to move item 8.2 to our next meeting, number 2014-125. Our next meeting, David, is what date?
The 10th.
To the 10th?
February 10th.
February 10th.
A motion to move item 8.2 from this agenda to the meeting on the 10th, February 10th.
I second.
Rick and Nancy with a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Not appearing, the motion carries.
Note that it says 126 on the resolution itself.
Mm-hmm.
You are correct.
So is it 126 or 125?
It's 126, is that correct?
The correct resolution number is 125.
125, so okay. So I need to change my.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is consideration and approval of ordinance number 2014-155 on the order of the city of Shoreview 2014. City officers' election, designated election precincts,
the polling places provided for the use of voting machines, appointing election officials, providing for a method and dates of early voting, providing for an early voting ballot board, excuse me, providing for return and canvass of votes of said election, providing for notice and proof, providing for filing deadline. David?
Yeah, this is the standard election order that we do annually, alternating between the offices, of course. The dates are set by election law, and so we're just endorsing those dates. The hours are those of our office hours, so that is something that we modify there. The dates for filing, the dates for voting, the dates for early voting are all mandated. We do have, we are required to have 2 12-hour early voting days. Historically, we have done that on a Wednesday and on the last day of voting, and this reflects that. I don't think there's anything else there that's any different. It just sets who the early voting clerk will be and who the canvassing will be.
So annually, or I guess annually, we have to have a new ordinance on the book reflecting the new dates and times and
it's,
all that?
It's an order. You're ordering the election to be held.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is there any discussion at this time, Councilman? Any input from citizens at this time? Yes, ma'am.
This may not be the right place, but I read in a local paper recently that LPISD is considering a bond election in May and that they informed a citizens advisory council. Curious to whether Shore Acres is participating in that. So that what they're doing is they're going to different schools and listening to the needs of the school to find out what might be entailed or what they want to put in the bond. So I would like to see Shore Acres being proactive and being part of that group.
I've heard nothing about that at this time. This is the first I've heard.
Thank you. But that wasn't my perfect
time. I believe it has something to do with the election process. If there are no other questions, we'll entertain a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance number 2014-155 for the ordinance to Shore Acres petitions for elections.
Thank you, Rick. Is there a second?
One second.
Thank you, Bo. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? If not appearing, the motion carries. Next item on the agenda. Consideration and approval of ordinance number 2014-156. Appointed the election judge, alternate judge, election clerks, early voting ballot board, and marshal for the May 10th, 2014 general election. David?
Yes, City Secretary, I'm responsible for administration of the election. However, the operation of the poll on election day is done by an election judge, an alternate judge, and clerk. And this ordinance identifies who those individuals will be. Stan Krause was our election judge last year and has agreed to do that again this year, along with Phil Iovino, who worked last year, and J.O. Washington, who, because of issues with his knee, was not available last year, has agreed this year to be a clerk. This sets their pay at $10 an hour for the hours that they work. As is normally the case, it designates our chief of police to be the city marshal for purposes of the election.
Are there any questions from council at this time? Are there any questions from citizens at this time?
There's just one comment. It's mm-hmm. rather benign, but 156 says one mayor and two aldermen at large, and 155 says three aldermen at large. I know we've already done live on 155, but there is a discrepancy, and it's not huge.
That's a good catch up, the Scribner's error, and that can be corrected without a due action council.
Okay. Are there any other comments at this time? With no appearing, we'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we pass ordinance number 2014-156, authorizing and appointing the election judge, alternate judge, election clerk, appointment of bilingual voting clerk, etc.
Second.
Thank you, Greg. We have a motion for proper second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Not appearing, the motion carries. And I'd like to thank certainly Mr. Krause, Mr. Yavino, and J.L. Washington for their and Chief for your efforts to ensure that we have a great election. The next item on the agenda, excuse me, is consideration and action to adopt resolution number 2014-126. Approving an interlocal agreement with Harris County Public Health and Environmental Services to provide veterinary public health services to include housing and quarantining of animals and related animal control services and authorizing the mayor to execute such an agreement. David, you were mentioning that the agreement did not come through or has not been received at this time.
Yeah, we have had this agreement in place for a number of years, and the legal department at the county decided that they would not be able to renew the agreement as it previously was written and would need a new agreement. And they were preparing that. My conversation with them last week, I expected to have it by this meeting. It didn't happen. I'd like to get it in place as soon as possible, so we'll just move it to the next agenda and hopefully we'll get the agreement.
Are there any questions for council at this time? Are there any citizens' questions at this time? Yes, sir.
Kendall Cricket, 322 Seagrove. This animal control, would that help with calls on coyotes?
No, sir.
No?
Mm-hmm. No, this particular agreement is largely to deal with rabies. So when we have a dog bite, they'll come out, pick it up, and then quarantine it. And take care of the quarantine and the citations and the activity related to that. We can also have them do other services for us, but we've contracted with LaPorte for housing animals. We'd rather our residents go to LaPorte to pick them up as opposed to way out north in Houston near Tomball to get them. So there's overlapping things, and this is largely just for rabies control.
Okay. Are there any other questions at this time? Then appearing, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, 8.6, discussion and action to alter the city administrator's employment contract approved by resolution number 2012-100. Nancy?
Yes, if there's no objection from city of council, I'd like to postpone that until after we discuss 8.7. If there's no objection.
I do not hear any objections at this time.
Okay, so 8.7 is the prohibition of our city to enter into a contract with any city employee that has what is commonly known as an evergreen clause. It's an automatic renewal clause. It takes away performance evaluations to be able to put into place, critiquing, and I just think that this city, as small as we are, shouldn't have anyone ever have an evergreen clause. I don't understand the need for it in a city of our size. And it's the way that our government is set up. You know, council is council, and when you have an evergreen clause, it removes some of council's discretion, as well as job performance evaluation, which was brought up by Mr. Stanton. This is not specific to any person. I just think that our city should not engage in this type of contract with anyone, neither now nor in the future. And as it stands, as it's written, if there is any employee that has an evergreen clause, an automatic renewal, then that contract will be null and void the day before it's set to automatically renew. And that gives council time to review. And I just think it's more responsible in a city such as ours. to be able to have review on an annual basis. And that's my reason for putting it out there.
Are there any questions from council at this time? Are there any questions from citizens at this time? Yes, sir.
Jerry Victor, 3346 Miramar. Is this resolution going to be voted on at this time? What is going to happen with the resolution?
I believe the course of action is that it is up for consideration and approval. So the council has the opportunity to make a motion and yes, vote on this resolution tonight. Or they can do whatever they see fit, but it is up for the possibility of approval for this evening. Yes, sir. Are there any other questions at this time? Yes, sir.
David Jennings, 17 West Forest Avenue. I just want to say if hopefully there is a vote, and if there is a vote, I hope that council supports this. I do believe Alderman Snell is correct in that there should be no contracts that council doesn't review once per year. It just is a no-brainer to me. It has nothing to do with any specific individual at all. Thank you.
Are there any other questions at this time?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I would like to say that it's not an unusual term in the world of city administrators and city managers, and that...
Mayor, point of order, this is about every city employee. This is not specific to any one individual's contract.
But it certainly would impact my contract, which is a contract, and making it null and void would be a breach of contract. And it would be tantamount to a termination of the contract. And I just wish.
Yes, I do believe it does have effect on existing contracts. The ordinance as it stands.
Well, that was going to be my question.
Would terminate any current agreements that exist.
Effective at the end of the day prior to the renewal date. And that any employees impacted shall be converted to a at-will employee status and be properly notified of their employment status. It's going to at-will. It's not a termination of any individual. It's not a termination of anything.
I've asked for a legal opinion from our council, not city council, I apologize, from city attorney, and it is their opinion that the passing of this resolution will void and or terminate any current agreement with the city.
What's the problem with that?
It's a contract.
Yeah, there is no problem with that. The city council certainly can do that. Would point to the fact that there is a termination clause in there, and as long as you meet the requirements.
The termination clause in the contract speaks, and we're not speaking about you. We're just doing this as a generality. And yes, it would affect your contract.
Sorry, is there any other city employee that has a contract like this?
I don't know. I don't think there everyone else's contract. And the severability under the termination in the contract with Mr. Stahl, it specifically refers to termination of his employment. This is not termination of employment. This is termination of an evergreen clause in the contract.
Yes, and you're absolutely correct. It's not termination of employment. It would be termination of contract.
So we've got a contract with someone that says, if you don't renew my contract, you're going to extort how much money out of the citizens?
I'm sorry, I don't believe there is any extorting taking place should the contract terminate. I don't believe that there are any laws that would be broken by breaching the contract aside from violating the terms the terms of the contract itself.
I don't believe that this is a breach of contract because it states also that it can be terminated by council or the city administrator, very specifically.
That is true, and any modifications to the existing contract, I believe, are required to be approved by both parties.
That's right. Well, my motion is out there, and I think that it's irresponsible. I think it's an irresponsible policy to have an automatic renewal of any policy, any contract with any employee. I don't care if it's the ladies that come in and sweep the building at night, or that clean the furniture, or, even with Chief Harrison. I wouldn't think that would be a responsible thing to do. And this is this council's opportunity then, in the light of all of that, to maybe right or wrong. And I stand by my ordinance, and I think it will prevent this from happening in the future. I have no problem with contracts. I have a problem with an automatic renewal.
And you had made mention that you had made a motion?
I will make a motion that City Council passes Ordinance 2014-157, amending the code of the city that we shall not enter into any automatic renewing contracts within the city from here on out.
Is there a second? If none appearing, the motion does not move forward. The next item on the agenda is 8.6, discussion and action to alter the city administrator's appointment contract.
Did we get to talk about it?
The citizens, I believe, already had an opportunity to speak.
Not on this.
Not on this. We have
the final one.
They got the
Victor and Jenny spoke.
Jenny spoke.
I believe there was discussion and that a motion was brought forward. That was.
But you didn't bring
it in here again. Did you say in discussion?
No. The next item on the agenda is item 8.6, discussion and action to alter. I will have order, please.
Okay.
8.6, discussion and action to alter the city administration employment contract approved by resolution number 2012-100. Nancy?
Everybody in the city now has had an opportunity. It's on the website. I encourage you to do some heavy reading of the city administrator's contract. We've had references to it already. And this council did not pass this. Previous council entered into an agreement. I gave the mayor the ability to enter into a contract with the city administrator, David Stahl, a contract that he did not have the first 8 years that he worked for the city. He was an at-will employee, like normal folks. Mr. Stahl is already more than... Mr. Stahl is already more than protected than any other employee of the city, being that if we chose to terminate him for cause, it would still take a majority vote of council without cause of two-thirds. So he's got that protection already built in. 11 pages and 2 amendment pages in a contract. There's a lot of vagueness. You keep referring to city council and the city administrator, but when you go to the back page where it would find off, it was the mayor and Richard Adams and David Stahl. Now, the word reasonable in nature, that phrase keeps coming up throughout this whole thing. I want to see who defines reasonable. And if you look into section 2, which is page 2, that's the automatic renewal policy. I don't like that. This is bad for the city, bad for the citizen. It's good for Mr. Stahl. Congratulations. Good for you. But if you look further, city further agrees to review the base salary and other benefits of the administrator at least annually. Review the salary and benefits, not review the administrator. And if you continue to go on, it goes, other retirees, it refers to, this whole contract keeps going back to other city employees, to which it's not a direct reflection. There's two different job responsibilities here. We have an administrator, and then we have city employees. That, by default, fall under where he is. But it's constant reference, same portion, exclusive and unrestricted use of a vehicle. And you just keep going on. Reasonable time off, if you permitted. What is reasonable? Who's defining reasonable? And then the termination clause, lump sum cash payment equal to 5 months of salary and benefits plus the value of all sick and vacation leave, holidays and other benefits accrued or credited to the administrator prior to the termination. 5 months lump sum? Really? And then we can go into reductions. If council decides to reduce the authority of the administrator or reduces the salary or other financial benefits of the administrator in a greater percentage than any applicable across-the-board reduction for all city employees, then we've got to cough up more money and we're penalized there too. Now, with this, with cause, provided that, notice the, having given them first, the suspension of the administrator with pay pending the resolution of any criminal charge filed against the administrator shall not constitute a termination or a reduction under this section. The council shall be deemed to have suggested the resignation of the administrator any time when a majority of the members of council shall, at a council meeting, in writing, suggest that the administrator resign. But he has to conduct, he has to be convicted of a crime or do a crime of moral fortitude, whatever that is. So, and we're only on page 5, ladies and gentlemen. If you go to page 6, the administrator and the duly authorized representatives of council sit there and go into amendments. He gets to decide his own fate. And if you look here on this back page, in the beginning it says council, council, council. I don't see full council signature on said contract. And I have problems with it. And then if you go into the attachment A that transcribes and accurate council meeting minutes. Good luck with that. That's job description. City records, such as minutes of council meetings. Good luck with that. No performance review. And he is also the salary administrator for the entire city. Got a problem with that, too. So, you know, this council has been woefully lacking in fiscal responsibility and doing what we said we were going to do. And it's not because we haven't tried, it's just that it's been a lot more difficult than we all thought. But when you have a city administrator whose salary and total compensation package is a little less than one-tenth of your budget, we might need to review it. And we're locked into this, as you just heard, because everybody's afraid to get something done. That being said, I withdraw 8.6, and I make a motion that we adjourn.
We have we do have a motion that has been made. However, I do believe we can enter into discussion at this point in time.
Is there any discussion? She's withdrawn this.
There are. I'm certain that there are citizens who have come up here for this very reason to express their opinion, and I don't see why we can't listen to what they have to say. At this time,
I would withdraw my motion to adjourn.
Okay. If there's no discussion further from council, then we would be happy to listen to citizen comment.
We're within the letter of the law here.
Yes, we are. I believe we are.
Okay. I'd like to address Nancy. Nancy, this is just clear to me that you're out for David. And you can come up with any kind of evergreen clause
order,
or whatever.
I thought we were not allowed to attack members of council.
That's just point of order.
There are, as far as it becoming disruptive, from what I understand, the rules of order do give some leeway as to addressing council. However, I would ask that if you're going to address council, to address council as a whole. Rather than specific individual.
Okay,
thank you.
It appears to me that one person on our council is after our city administrator, and it's just a 1-2-3 step. It's very transparent. Sorry.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Diane Victor, 3346 Miramar. I don't usually say anything. I try to listen in, and I put the city's fate in the hands of council. But I feel that we are caught with something that we can't get out of. It's a vicious circle. It's a renewal of something. And it's not that we keep David and he continues to work for us. To me, it's the fact that the ordinance we don't have an ordinance that doesn't allow this, so we're in a, just a circle. How do you get out? Does David finally say, I quit, or I'm leaving, or I'm retiring? Is that the way we get out of his evergreen contract? I think as council, you need to be looking out for the city. I don't necessarily feel like David needs to go, but I don't feel like we should be held hostage, and I feel like that's what's happening now. And I implore you as council members to get the city out of this situation. That's all I ask, is to try to get us out of this to where we have an option to decide the fate of the city. And I just don't feel like any one person should be able to hold all these council members hostage. And the mayor and I think that's what's happening. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Jerry Victor, 3346 Miramar. I urge council to initiate whatever action is necessary to rescind this evergreen contract. That contract is not in the best interest of the taxpayers, and when it was negotiated, it was, I believe, in an executive session. Am I right or wrong?
You are correct.
Executive session? Was the city attorney there at the time?
I don't recall right offhand, but
as certainly we can find that. The city attorney, was he involved in the actual drafting of the contract? If he was, he's really culpable of not protecting the citizens of Shore Acres' interest. That contract does not protect the city. Citizens, it really protects David Stahl very well. And I ask you to look at this picture again and look toward rescinding that contract. And if you want to go further with it, negotiate another contract, that's fine. But at this stage, I think it ought to be rescinded. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Joining Bay 626 Baywood, I do not see how one council of a previous administration can be held for the next council that's elected, because it's totally different. I mean, like you said, it's just a vicious circle. I mean, when this came up, and I was out of town, and I voiced my objection to this because council didn't have anything to do with it. It was negotiated by Dolly Ahrens, Richard, and Mr. Stahl. Where's council? Council approves it? That's wrong. So I do not see how one council, one administration, can be held responsible for the next one. It's just, there's no way.
Somebody else?
Yeah, my name's Chuck Hayes. 122 Meadow Lawn. What you're dealing with, you should be dealing with your lawyer. Abrogation of a contract is a serious thing. Now, one of the things that the city can do, they can pass this ordinance modified so that it is effective from this day forward, and you cannot abrogate a previous contract that simply. You may not be able to do it at all, and you're right. David Stahl may have to resign or pass on, but he's got a firm contract. And yes, the legal status that you have here is this council is held to that contract just like the last one. Unfortunately, that's where you're at. And most of the discussion and any changes in this area need to be covered by the lawyer, and yes, this is a right to work state, but he has a very good contract. I'm sorry to say that, but he has a very good contract. And if you're going, you cannot pass I don't think, in my opinion, you can pass a resolution to abrogate his contract that simply. You can set it up so that no evergreen contracts are written in the future. Now, I've been in the state for 26 years, and that's the only one I've ever seen, and I have written many contracts, many employment contracts. But that's beside the point. This contract is very well written, and I don't know as you can go back and say that it was wrongly administered because of the people that signed it. But you need a very good lawyer to look at this and see what you can and cannot do. And like you said, I don't know if this has anything to do with the performance of Mr. Stahl or not. But it is not a good situation to have evergreen contracts. And you can deal with it in the future. It's very difficult to deal with this right now. And there's a lot of negotiation to go on to do anything different. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Jerry Victor, 3346 Miramar. I just want to mention a little bit of a timeline. September 24, 2012, the mayor entered into agreement with the city administrator, those two. Then, November 20th, 2 months later, the agreement was formally executed by the mayor, attested to by the mayor pro tem, and agreed to by the city administrator. That's November 20th. Then on November 26th, 6 days later, by resolution, city council hereby approves and authorizes the mayor to execute a professional employment agreement. It's like after the fact, it's already done. And then council goes ahead and passes a resolution authorizing the mayor to do it. So that's comes from the website, from the minutes and other information on the website. So the real question is the whole process legal? And I think we would have to get some kind of contracting attorney to render some kind of official opinion, and not the city attorney. Thank you.
So the date that that's signed is not the 20th. It's handwritten, it's the 30th.
Pardon?
Said the date that it was executed was the 30th. It's handwritten, but it was the 30th. 3-0, not 2-0.
Well, whatever's on the website is what I'm getting this from.
Yes, sir. I have a copy right here.
What are you saying? That it was executed?
4 days after authorized by council.
Well,
all right.
That should be the 30th.
And
it's handwritten in there.
Oh, it's handwritten in there. Okay.
It says the
30th. Well, behind the scenes. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
It says in the contract that it will be reviewed every February the 15th. I disagree with Nancy in that you need to have the ability to discontinue yearly. I worked in industry for 31 years, and I worked in the public sector where I had a contract, and people had a contract, so everybody got paid the same in the public sector. But if somebody didn't do their job, they didn't renew their contract. Now the contracts vary. When you first start, it'd be 1 year. After about 5 years, you could get a 3-year contract, and ultimately you could get a 5-year contract. So I don't believe that you can't have a contract. I think you should. You know, I would have a problem with the chief of police having a contract and the director of public utilities having a contract and David having a contract. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with them more than 1 year. But this contract needs to be tweaked. You folks need to sit down, go in executive session, and go through this thing line by line. This is too important. And you can revise the contract. It says in the contract, with the approval of the administrator and the council, you can revise the contract. I mean, there's things in there that, for instance, it refers to Appendix A or something, which is simply a job description. Well, the job description's changed. You know, for instance, you don't really have to have minutes anymore because you're broadcasting. You can go on, and you don't have to have that anymore. But it says in the job description that he's responsible for transcribing the minutes. Well, he's really not anymore. He doesn't have to. So there's other things in there that I'm sure David would agree with as well. And there's things that are loosey-goosey. Like, he gets paid so much a year to use his own personal automobile. But does he get to use our gas? Or do you want him to keep track of all his miles that he used and charge us 48.5 cents a mile? You know, there's different alternatives other than what you're doing now. I think it's just so important just to blow it off. You guys need to get together, and gals, and tweak this a little bit and talk to David about it. I'm not for getting rid of David Stahl. I think he's a very professional guy. I think he does a good job. But this contract needs some work, in my opinion. That and $3 will get you a cup of coffee.
That's Starbucks.
Jerry Victor, 3346 Miramar. I want you to take a look at whether this is the 20th or the 30th. Pass it down, Constable. At least look at that page. The whole contract's written out, typed out, and then it is one little block that's scribbled in. And it sure looked like a 20 to me, but I'm an older guy, and maybe I need to have another set of glasses.
I will just run off since 14 C, bro. Yeah, I get where four of you city council members are at. What you've done is it's kind of like grabbing a wolf by the ears. You don't want to let go, but you don't want to hold on. And that's what this contract is like. And at some point, you've got to take the step and fix it. It is not a good contract for the city of Shore Acres. It has literally nothing to do with, you know, what Mr. Stahl's performance has been in the past or what it is. It really has to do with the protection of the city of Shore Acres. Basically, he could just not come to work. And we can't fire him without giving him 5 months. That's what they wrote. Does anybody in this room have a contract like that? Has ever had a contract like that? I don't think so. Nobody gets contracts like that. Even the CEO of Freecom, who was terminated for sexual harassment, was not convicted. And yet he got fired without his golden parachute. Wait a minute. That, you know, executives don't get these kind of contracts. It's poorly written, and I would strongly urge City Council to reconsider Ordinance 214-157. Figure out what you want to do with the wolf. But sitting back and doing nothing, you got him by the ears. And you don't know what to do with them. You got to make a decision. Thank you.
Are there any other?
Yes.
David Jennings, 17 West Forest Avenue. I'm also disappointed in Alderman Jones, Alderman Bunker, Alderman Moses, and Alderman Wheeler for not supporting Ordinance 2014-157. I've stood in front of you and supported Mr. Stahl, and will continue to in the future. I think we are fortunate to have Mr. Stahl. But David, I would ask you. You can see that this is dividing the city. Just renegotiate the contract and drop the automatic renewal. You're going to get renewed every year. It'll get rid of all this contention, and we can move forward. I support you, always will, and I just think that you could do a lot to make this contention go away just by dropping that one single part of your contract. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a comment.
Yes.
Just a, for record, you know, I'm a local businessman here. And just to let you know, Mr. Hoskins, in regards to you, I have seen these contracts before. And they've been from CEOs, just to let you know. Shell, Exxon, I'd like to name a few people that are vice presidents. But what Mr. Stan said and Chuck said over there, if you put them together with what you said, that's all things that need to happen. Basically, there's a lot of tweaking that needs to be done here. When you look at the contract as a business person, I look at it, and by the way, I have people under contract. When I look at it, it needs tweaking. And obviously, I've done pretty good because my company's worked quite a bit. But my point is this. It needs tweaking, I agree. I think we need to go into a session, sit down with Mr. Stahl, and I think we need to tweak this. Automatic renewal, everybody's interpretation, we'll read it different. I can get three attorneys in front of me, corporate attorneys, and hang them all, everyone's going to have a different opinion. You don't go out and do something that can create a problem. Nancy's point was well taken, and I hindered the fact of which way I should go looking at this. But as a businessman, and thinking about, I can't just think about who all sitting in here. I have to think about the complete city because not, you know, everybody, you know, who voted. We have a right to every citizen in the city. And when you look at this, my job is to answer for those people that aren't sitting in here. In other words, they're not voicing their opinion because they hired me to do that. And I've had numerous opinions in the last 72 hours via phone and via email about Mr. Stahl. With that being said, I want to thank those gentlemen that spoke up a while ago because you're exactly correct. We go and do something here, then we've opened a bag of worms on a lawsuit, and then you're going to be yelling at us. Why did you spend all this money for an attorney at $250 an hour to figure this out? If we're lucky enough to get one that cheap. What we need to do is we need to sit down, we need to get together, sit this man down, and we need to tweak it. Something needs to happen. As a councilman, I say I'm all before we need to do something, we need to discuss this. So I will, if it's not on the next agenda, I'll be happy to put it on there to get into an executive session, sit down and discuss these things. So it needs to be addressed for the citizens. So, you know, take it for what you will. Myself, I'm just not wanting to do something rash. And I don't say it's not really rash. We've been discussing this. But when you start looking at this and you read through it over and over, you can change your mind every time you read it. I just want to make sure that we've got it down right. Let's look at it. If we cannot tweak it, then we go to the next level. But either way you look at it, if you decided you didn't want Mr. Stahl, then fine. The 15th, it's up. End of story. It's not as complicated as you want it to be. I mean, the bottom line is we need to make sure we have our ducks in a row. So I appreciate y'all. I think that something has to be done. Thank you.
Jerry Victor, 3346. Understood what you said, but you got a time deadline, and you, if you don't take action before the term or the end date, then that's you are accepting it as a valid contract to go on indefinitely from renewal for new automatic renewal. All I'm saying is, you got a deadline here. You got to face it. If you're going to deal with it, deal with it. If you're not, let it go. It's going to be your reputation. You're supposed to be protecting the rights of the citizens. And that contract, that one area, does not protect the rights of the citizen. That's two paragraphs. Thank you.
Are there any other comments at this time? None appearing. I believe, Nancy, you had made a motion.
Yes. I have a question to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Mike, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? I'm not appearing. Motion carries. You're adjourned at 8:14.